Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. We do this each weekday, every day during the week at 11 o'clock. You can catch the live show if you miss it live. It does replay most days here on the Big X at 3 o'clock. I know a lot of people catch that afternoon hour. And, of course, available as a podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, two easy ways, free apps. Find us online as well to listen to the show each day. And excited about today's show, excited about really the rest of the week and really the rest of the month and March Madness. It's just, this is a fun time of year. You always, at least I do, want to spend some time lining up guests and trying to come up with the right things to talk about each day. And you always want to stay in tune with what's going on and what the news is. But also, you know, on this show, some things that maybe you're not hearing on other programs. And we want to get into a little high school stuff and things that you may not catch somewhere else. But I tell you, this time of year, if a guy wanted to cheat, it'd be pretty easy because there is so much content out there. There is so much activity out there that it's fun. We all want to know what the NCAA tournament bracket's going to look like. We all want to know if Indiana's going to have a legitimate chance to make it. The Big Ten Conference has provided so many great storylines and finishes. And again, last night, some crazy, I don't even want to say crazy, but just some good games last night, some great finishes. And how about Penn State? They are continuing to roll with a big win on the road at Michigan State last night. So a number of things to catch up on from the Big Ten Conference. But we're glad you're with us and hope that you are with us every day, whether it's live on the Big X or whether it's as a podcast. Glad to always have you join us here on the program. Also, last night, girls sectionals. We'll take a look at some of the winners and losers from those games last night. And that kind of kicks off, at least for me, postseason basketball. The girls sectionals start about 3 weeks or so before anything else, before the boys and before, obviously, college basketball conference tournaments get going. But really, it's kind of a kickoff of me of, all right, we're in the home stretch of the, of the regular season, but we're getting ready to enter a great stretch of postseason basketball. And that kind of marked last night and this week with the start of girls sectional play. Welcome into the show today. Glad to have you with us. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. On the program today, in segment one, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Segment two, joining us on this Wednesday per normal is Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. We'll talk IU and Purdue. We'll also talk some of the Big Ten results from last night. I went over the bracket yesterday. If the Big Ten Conference ended yesterday, and of course, I know that's now changed today with more games and wild results last night, but crazy, Michigan would be playing on the first day as one of the four teams in action. That was a little wild, as Ohio State playing on the first day. And, of course, last night Ohio State goes to Michigan, leaves with a win. So we saw last night a couple home teams in a home-heavy favorite conference not get the job done. But, again, that bracket alone telling you that at any point of the year, Ohio State, Michigan both would be playing on the first day if the bracket was seeded yesterday. And, of course, that's going to change every day with every result and every place that a team moves up and down in the conference. But that just tells you kind of, it for me at least, what a year it's been. And there's going to be a lot of change from that bracket we went through yesterday. Indiana was going to, in that bracket, would be seeded to play Purdue if things ended yesterday and the conference was getting ready to go with the tournament. But that tells you that this conference has been wild and wacky, and so we'll talk some about that as we do, it seems like, most weeks with Dustin, and we'll even get ready for the Big Ten tournament. That could be a lot of fun. It's obviously not been a really traditionally fun weekend or fun event for IU fans to travel to or to take off work and attend, because Indiana historically has not done well in the Big Ten Conference. But if you're just a Big Ten fan, which I am, I love Big Ten basketball. I love the style of basketball. Like a lot of the coaches in the Big Ten Conference, of course, a lot of players you get from the state of Indiana, whether it's at Indiana or Purdue or even playing elsewhere in the conference. There's just a lot of reasons to like the Big Ten. I think this year's tournament, if you just want to watch it from a basketball perspective, I think that I can't imagine a better conference tournament to spend some time watching, especially if the bracket, and I think it's going to at some level, stay so crazy with good teams that maybe have underperformed playing early or playing out of high seed spots. There's no telling who could go on to win the tournament. I mean, yesterday when we said, hey, the bracket as of today, Michigan and Ohio State don't play each other, but they play on the first day opposite of each other. I wouldn't be terribly shocked if a Michigan or Ohio State made a run in the Big Ten tournament. I wouldn't be shocked if Indiana made a run, for that matter. There's a lot of teams that you think you have a idea what they can do, and maybe they haven't put it all together just yet. But that's just a number of reasons why I think the Big Ten Conference tournament will be crazy this year. We'll talk with Dustin about that when he joins us a little bit later today. Also, later in the show, it's Wednesday, so we have Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. He always joins me Wednesdays as we talk local sports. Of course, lots of basketball this time of year. Girls sectionals last night. We'll cover some of those results and who played well and who advances to play who later in the week. Also, Craig was at the Silver Creek Bloomington South game. I know we spent some time talking about Trey Kaufman and that big high school game yesterday and earlier this week, but we'll do so with Craig and get his take on that contest. And again, we'll look ahead to the boys tournament, which is just around the corner, and some other things we'll catch up with on today when Craig joins us. And that segment with Craig each week is presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. So Craig Pearson with us later in the hour today. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany and receive $15 off any bone-in ham. Also, buy one, get one free ham bones, all for a limited time at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Submit a question, submit a comment. It might get read on the air. You can follow me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills. You can tweet me or DM me your question or comment there. Also on Facebook, the show has a Facebook page. So inside Facebook, you can search the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can like the page. You can get updates on the show, who's going to join us, links to podcasts, and a lot more by liking that page. And you can also leave us a message there as a question or comment for our show today. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And I mentioned Penn State last night. I think I've got this right. I think Penn State, five straight games in the Big Ten. They've won five straight games in the Big Ten for the first time in program history. That is absolutely amazing for Pat Chambers and for Penn State. And obviously, that program has made a big jump, and they've done so quick. I mean, a year ago when Indiana played Penn State, what was that, a week ago today, I think? That game, the announcers were talking about, okay, a year ago at this time, Penn State was literally 0-10 in Big Ten Conference play. And just over a year from that time, they now have won five straight conference games. There is no question about it that this Penn State team is going to the NCAA tournament. I saw someone tweet last night, this Penn State team is no longer, with some of these big wins that they've got and moving forward with what's ahead in the schedule, this Penn State team is no longer playing to get in the NCAA tournament. They are playing for a good seed in the NCAA tournament, which is absolutely correct. Last night, Penn State a winner, 75-70 at Michigan State. So big stuff for Penn State. And, of course, you also look last night at Michigan, at Ann Arbor. Ohio State hangs on. It got wild at the finish to win 61-58 over Michigan. That's a big win for Ohio State. They've not had a lot of good happen since back in early to mid-December when they were red hot, and we've talked about that some, especially heading into the Indiana game last weekend. So this Michigan game with a win over Indiana at home really marks a pretty good stretch for Ohio State, and I think it's going to be interesting to watch from here how they go on to finish this month, to finish the regular season of Big Ten Conference play. Indiana at home, followed by a really good road win against Michigan. Here I'm talking about a really good road win against Michigan, a team that was in the back end or is at the back end even worse now after a loss to Ohio State at home in the conference standings. Still a pretty good team and still a team that's pretty capable and still a team they may not finish there at the tail end of the conference. They might hop up some in the standings, but still a team that's dangerous and a team that obviously I don't think you want to see in the Big Ten tournament. And I think that I don't know where they're at as far as a bracket standing, but they've got some talent. They've got some wins. They started off the season with some big wins, including in the non-conference games. So they will be interesting in a kind of a bad spot now to see if they can pull themselves out of the cellar and finish reasonably and still make a run at something in the postseason. Also last night, just three Big Ten games last night, one other score, Maryland with a good win at home. So no surprise there at home over Rutgers, 56-51, the final score. But I think the big thing in the Big Ten last night is Ohio State, Penn State, they both go on the road, and they both log big wins in conference play last night. One other Big Ten note from a football perspective, Mark D'Antonio at Michigan State, he announced yesterday his retirement, and of course his retirement comes at a very interesting time for him because there have been some, I don't want to say investigations, but definitely some question marks around the Michigan State football program, both recently and earlier this year, earlier in 2019, that nothing necessarily guilty of D'Antonio, but definitely things that it looks like he was maybe aware of or did not take action on. So it appears he went out on his own ability to do so. Interestingly enough, he had just gotten a massive payday, a $4.3 million loyalty bonus, it was termed, in his contract 2 weeks ago from Michigan State. So clearly, he's waited, probably knowing this is something he is going to do or wanted to do until after he got that $4.3 million buyout, which who could really blame him? But also in a bad situation, not only is it a tough time to hire a football coach or for a coach that might be interested in the Michigan State job to make a jump from their current program, even if it's an assistant coach role or a major assistant role or a head coach for sure because of the time, but the National Signing Day activities are beginning. And Michigan State obviously has a class of kids committed. Do they sign? Do they not sign? Do they hold off and see who the new coach is and what the situation looks like? But definitely an interesting time for Michigan State football. Lots of criticism of D'Antonio. I saw last night at the – I was watching the Penn State-Michigan State game. He was introduced at halftime and had a quick little – it wasn't long. I was out. I didn't hear the volume or the audio. But he did have a little quick – thank you speech or announcement about his retirement. His wife was there with him, and clearly he, that I can't imagine that that's going. I know it's not going over well with a lot of Michigan State fans and people, but definitely an interesting note in college football and in the Big Ten Conference right now with Michigan State coming open at this point of the season. One other headline in this opening segment, some good news. We talked yesterday that Victor Oladipo, or earlier this week, I think, that Victor Oladipo his back, and he really hasn't shot the ball that well. He's just trying to work through a slump as he gets back into his NBA time. He's been on a minutes restriction, which has been, I think, about 24 minutes, I read. But yesterday, Scott Agnes of The Athletic writing or tweeting that the front office and medical staff of the Pacers met yesterday after their practice and concluded that Vic needs a greater workload, so his restriction increases from 24 to 28 minutes, and now that he's playing on the upwards of 28 minutes or so a game, they will consider starting him for the Pacers. And again, hopefully gets back into his routine. Hopefully gets that shot back. I'm sure he will. A little bit of a shooting slump as he gets back to action for the Pacers, of course. First time having him back in a while. That's a look at the headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Zaxby's, the home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. That's a look at our news of the day from Zaxby's with locations in Jeff and New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, more on Indiana, more on the Big Ten Conference, more on last night's games, big wins by Penn State and Ohio State on the road. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is my guest. And then following him later in the show today, we'll be joined in studio by Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, as we take a look at some local stuff, including last night's girls sectionals, high school basketball on the boys' side, and more in our weekly segment with Craig, presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. That's all coming your way next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Wednesday show, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. He covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic and is kind enough to join us Wednesdays to talk IU and Big Ten basketball. And last night I had some time, Dustin, to channel surf and watch some really crazy finishes in some Big Ten games. And that was highlighted by Ohio State going on the road and winning at Michigan. And, of course, a big win for Penn State. As they go to Michigan State and come out with a five-point victory. Good night, interesting night, once again, of Big Ten basketball.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Again, you just keep saying this conference turned on its head again and again and again and again. And, you know, it just continues to show that there's just not a front runner in this league. And there's probably, I mean, I think it's sort of whittled down a little bit so that there's maybe five or six that are kind of at the top of the league, but you know, basically anybody in the top 10 can beat anybody else in the top 10, maybe even 11 or 12 on any given evening. I mean, I think, like you said, I mean, Penn State winning on the road is just humongous to go up there. Michigan State, President Center being one of the toughest places to play, and also, you know, I think Michigan State is still, you know, at the end of the day, the most talented team in the league, but it's not by a long shot. And you know, that's again just a massive. You know, I'm a Penn State grad. I've seen a lot of really, really bad Penn State basketball in my time, and for these guys to step up and play like that, and you know, I don't think I've seen them beat Michigan State before. I'm not sure how long it's been since they've actually done it in Breslau, and that's a really tough thing to do. So that's a massive program win there. But again, I mean, you just keep seeing wildness. I mean, Rutgers Maryland was a pretty good game too. Maryland ends up, you know, holding that one down, and they're, you know, at the top of the league right now. Illinois had a tough loss to Iowa over the weekend, but you know, Illinois is right now tied for first place in the league with Maryland, and even, I mean, Rutgers is playing really tough. I think those six teams, I think right now are kind of, you know, separating a little bit. Maryland, Illinois, Michigan State, Penn State, Iowa, Rutgers are, and I've really just said Rutgers in that sentence, are kind of the top performing group right now. But you know, I mean, just anything could happen. I mean, Purdue gets Iowa tonight. That's going to be a fascinating game, and I won't even be at that one because Butler Villanova is even more fascinating. But every night in the Big Ten is just totally nuts at this point. Anything is possible, and a lot of these teams are going to get in the tournament. You don't even know, you know, who's really the best out of all of them.
Absolutely. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is my guest. I guess for me, and I've said this yesterday and I said this in the first segment today, I guess for me that it was highlighted how crazy of a year this has been. And let's hope it continues to be crazy because it's a lot of damn fun. I'm going to be honest with you. I've never had this much fun following the Big Ten Conference. But when the bracket, the Big Ten Network, and they've done this every year, if the bracket was seeded yesterday before last night's games, just the fact that Ohio State, who was red hot in December and was mentioned as a Final Four team in December, and also Michigan, who had a really great non-conference successes and has done okay in the conference, not great, and of course has slipped and slipped a little bit here recently to the back end. But the fact that those two teams, with the talent and the coaches that they have, are would have been, and a lot can change, playing on the opening day of the Big Ten Conference in those first two games is just crazy. And to me, it when I saw that bracket, I know it just was as of yesterday. I know it's going to change a lot. I know it changed more last night. It's going to change more tonight and more next week and so on. But just seeing that that's how crazy this conference is, that teams of that caliber that are legitimate teams with talent were playing on the first day or could play on the first day of the tournament. It's just, to me, it's just mind-blowing, and it underscores everything that we talk about each week.
No, absolutely. I mean, yeah, you think back to December. I mean, remember, you know, you have Ohio State beating Kentucky and North Carolina at a time when you don't know that North Carolina is going to take a tumble. You know, Michigan winning the Battle of Atlantis, you know, which required them to beat, you know, Gonzaga and North Carolina. You know, at those times, you're thinking of those as, you know, those teams were right up there. In both of those cases, they had their moment that they were, you know, a top five, top 10 team. And yeah, they've tumbled. I mean, I think when you watch them, you obviously see that they have flaws, and it's not as surprising. But at the time, you know, especially in November and December, when we really didn't know anything, like they you had, you know, every reason to believe that those teams were going to be right there and had a chance to win the whole thing. And no, it's been wild to see this shift and change and tumble and how the dynamic has changed. I mean, I think we obviously, you know, the time where you really kind of set your idea for who's really good is that Thanksgiving weekend, you know, where you have all those non-conference, you know, tournaments, basically the big, you know, stuff with Maui and Battle of Atlantis and, you know, just all of those events, you know, coming together at neutral sites and playing teams across conferences. And I think we have an extremely different view of how college basketball looks now than we did then, and how the Big Ten looks now than we did then. You know, basically, it's a lot has changed, a lot has flipped around. Some has been water finding its level. Some have been big changes. And I think I thought Illinois, Penn State, and Iowa could all be better than they were last year, but I didn't think they would be this much better. I don't think that those would be the teams that you would be talking about as potential conference champions. And yeah, like you said, I mean, there's a good chance that first day of the Big Ten tournament is going to matter in a sense of, you know, somebody might be playing themselves in or out that day. There's a very real chance of that. A lot of occasions it's just, you know, who's going to be the spoiler, who's going to get in, you know, to that, you know, kind of first full round and mess up somebody's day. You know, this is going to be a situation where there's going to be somebody playing that day who might need that win to stay viable, you know, or to get in. You know, it's just crazy. I mean, again, and there's so many teams that have a chance to spoil things. I mean, you look up at this Purdue team that's 5-6 in the league and 12-10 overall, Minnesota. You know, those are two teams that are still dangerous. I mean, they're not great. They have big flaws, but they can still beat you. And there's just, again, so much still opportunity for things to happen and shake up in this league. And it could be very different, you know, 2 weeks from now than it is today.
Yeah, no question. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, my guest. We're talking Big Ten basketball and going to get into Indiana here now. Let's get your early thoughts. I know that it's kind of a long week for Indiana, especially fans that are used to the games coming fast and furious, but a nice break here for Indiana to get ready for rival Purdue. Purdue, an interesting team. They've not had a great time in conference play. They've not had a tremendous season overall, but at times see the 20-something point win at home over Virginia and over Michigan State as well. I know this one's not at home for the Boilermakers, but at times they've played pretty good. I'm curious, and you've covered Purdue. That's what people, I think, I don't. We need to tell them. You cover Indiana, Purdue, and Butler all very equally. Mm-hmm. You're at a lot of their games. You're writing about all the great stories and things for The Athletic on all those teams, not just Indiana. So you've probably, of all the guests that join us on this show to talk IU and matchups, you probably can speak on Purdue just as well as about anyone. Your thoughts on Purdue and IU Saturday at Assembly Hall?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. And like you said, I mean, they're definitely worse at on the road, you know, than they are at home. They really had to work to pull out a squeaker against Northwestern on Saturday. That was a really big win for them. But, I mean, it shouldn't be that hard to beat Northwestern, honestly. That's the one team that you can look at in this league and say, man, that's just not a great-looking basketball team. And they, you know – they have, you know, trouble shooting on the road. There's just a huge split. Sasha Stefanovic is a terrific shooter in Mackey Arena, you know, not so terrific outside of Mackey Arena. He did hit the massive shot to beat Northwestern, but he's really struggled. And that, you know, that basically changes a lot of what they can do. I mean, they're just okay at best when it comes to perimeter scoring. They do have the two bigs that Indiana's going to have to deal with, Matt Harms and Travion Williams, both very different types of guys. You know, Williams is a really skilled wide body. You know, at 6'9", he's listed at 270. I'm not sure what he actually is today. He might be at 265. He's lost a lot of weight since he's been at Purdue. And he's, again, super skilled, got terrific touch around the basket, really good passer out of a double team. You've seen him grow up, obviously, a ton this year. He had a 36-point outing against Michigan when he was just dynamite. So you've also got Harms, who's 7'3", got all the length, and also is a really good athlete. He's basically got a cross-country, you know, runner's body stretched over 7'3", and that makes him a really tough cover when it comes to slips and rolls and basically everything that you can do to get him on the move. So that's going to be an interesting cover, I think, for Indiana, and that's obviously where it sort of starts for Purdue. You know, they've got to figure out ways with Bronk and Jackson Davis to kind of follow what both of those guys are going to be doing. I think it's a pretty good matchup because Jackson Davis will be able to run with Harms. You know, that kind of evens out pretty well. But it's a tough cover for Joey Bronk, I think. And obviously, I think Joey Bronk has really grown up a lot and got a lot bigger, you know, more physical and tougher. But Williams is a bigger dude. Williams has size on him, you know, at the end of the day. He's going to be able to push him around a little bit. Bronk's going to have to fight really hard when he gets that assignment. And when they switch around and move lineups, if Jackson Davis gets him, that's an even tougher deal. You know, Deron Davis, I think, is going to have to give some good minutes in that game. He's not going to be, you know, he's got the wide body. That's going to be a matchup that's going to, you know, ask for a few more minutes from him. So that's going to be interesting to watch. On the perimeter, it's a little different. Now, the thing is, Purdue can really, really guard. You know, they're, I think, 15th in adjusted defensive efficiency. They're not a great scoring group. Eric Hunter's a pretty, you know, Eric Hunter and Shahad Proctor can get their, they can score at all three levels, but they're not that explosive. And Proctor has really been inconsistent in the second half of the year. Hunter's been pretty consistent, keeps getting his, but he's usually a 10 to 12 point guy. He's not necessarily going to blow up and kill you. You know, so he can get his points. So Stefanovic, I think, is a really big piece to whether, you know, how successful they are, because obviously he can hit some shots, but he doesn't always. I mean, I think Assembly Hall might be a comfy place for him. I think one issue that you see throughout the league is some of these, you know, bigger arenas, I think shooters, I think, struggle there, you know, when it comes to the backdrops and getting used to that. Indiana, obviously, is a little bit of a tighter backdrop. You know, when it comes to three-point shots and kind of lining them up, obviously, because you've got the bleachers right behind there, and it gives you sort of more a better focused look at the bucket. So that might help him and make Stefanovic a little bit more dangerous. You know, make him a little bit better shooter in that atmosphere. But it's going to be really interesting. I think it's going to be intriguing to see how Indiana handles those guards on the defensive end. Nojel Eastern is a really tough guy to deal with. I don't know how they'll use him. You know, I imagine he'll spend some time on Jackson Davis and try to take him out. He's 6'7", 220. So he can really move inside and out. He's got the body to bang inside a little bit, but he can also just swallow up a point guard. You know, we've really seen him in key stretches when they've moved, you know, usually Eric Hunter, you know, guards the point guard, but sometimes you'll see them use Eastern kind of as a closer, you know, for maybe the last 10 minutes after Hunter's been sort of wearing them out all game. Even if they've got their buckets, they put Eastern on him, and suddenly you've got this big body guy with fresh legs. He really swallowed up Marcus Carr when they played at Minnesota. They both did a really good job of taking Cassius Winston out of his game when they played at, you know, in Mackey at the beginning of the month. So basically there's a lot there. I mean, in Indiana's guards have not performed very well. You know, they were okay against Ohio State. Obviously, they were terrible against Penn State. And, you know, they're going to have to find a way to score against some guards that are really going to get after them. And, you know, that again, this guard group has been very, very back and forth. I think Rob Finney might handle it well. I'm not sure how Devontae Green is going to handle it. I'm not sure how Al Durham is going to handle it. That's going to be really, I think, an interesting matchup, is to see if Purdue can, you know, really cause pressure on those guards and cause turnovers and cause a little bit of havoc. Purdue doesn't turn a lot of people over a lot, but they might push because Indiana's obviously had some trouble there. So it's going to be, I think, a very interesting matchup, and both teams just really have some strengths and weaknesses, and some big weaknesses that they're both going to try to exploit.
Let me ask you this, Dustin, along the lines of talking about some of Indiana's personnel. Jerome Hunter, a pretty good game for Indiana last time out, maybe one of the highlights in that game for Indiana. He played ample minutes. I think it was 28, 29 minutes. He scored some points. He just seems to be playing better and more engaged in the game and look like the Jerome Hunter somewhat, not completely, but more look like the Jerome Hunter we expected when he arrived on campus as a freshman. What's your take on him moving forward, both immediately and maybe even a month from now in the Big Ten tournament or in latter days of conference play? Is he working himself? Are we seeing him work himself into some real opportunities for this team? And will he maybe, you think, contribute more even than what he has here recently?
Yeah, no, it definitely seems so. And I think one thing that really kind of put it in perspective for me in trying to understand where he's at, because I mean, we've had such an opaque view, I think, of what's going on with him this entire time, because I mean, if Indiana as a program has really tried not to be very specific about, okay, you know, this is where he is with his leg, this is where he is with his conditioning, this is where, you know, like they really haven't put timelines on it. They really haven't sort of given anybody an idea of, okay, what he's dealing with to try to get a long-term view of where he's at. But, you know, I think Archie Miller was, let a little bit out, you know, again, didn't say anything medical, but it was a couple weeks ago at his radio show. It was just saying, you know, like, you guys got to realize, like, he's a true freshman. Like, you think of him as a redshirt freshman, but he's not. You know, like, he didn't have all that time to build up his body. He didn't have all the time to get in game shape. Like, you got to realize, like, he missed a whole year. You know, and I think that's the thing that we didn't really even know, because, I mean, he would put stuff up on Instagram or whatever of doing workouts, and you're not really getting a sense of what kind of condition he's in. He didn't look bad, so, you know, it's not like he came in looking heavy. So I think it's always been hard for us to figure out, okay, like, you know, when they say he's out of condition, what do you mean? Because he looks fine. You know, what are we saying? What are we dealing with here? What are his expectations? But he said, you know what? Well, you got to think of this as he missed an entire year. You know, he really didn't get to do much until the summer. You know, really get to play basketball. He's just getting an idea now. Like, it's going to take time. And so you're not used to that with redshirts. You think, okay, they had some time. They did something. They worked out. They were around college players. Like, even if they didn't play, you know, they should be bigger, stronger, faster than they were when they got here. And he was just saying, you got to realize he's not. He's not really bigger, stronger, faster than he was. He's not used to the condition. He's not used to the game speed. He's not used to defense, you know, and what you have to do to defend at this level. So he's figuring it out. And he's not hitting his shot right now, and it's hurting him. So he's losing confidence. And, like, all of this is going to take some time. And now you're seeing the shot fall, and now you're sort of seeing, okay, you know, maybe that was sort of the best diagnosis sort of we heard so far of where he's at, that, all right, you're starting to see it now. And I, you know, it seemed like Miller didn't really expect it yet, but he figured he had to look at him like a true freshman, that, you know, in November and December, he's not going to get it. And eventually January, February, he might. And, you know, you can't look at it like a redshirt freshman, like he's had all this time to take it in. He really hasn't, you know, look at him, imagine him as a true freshman, and it makes a lot more sense. And it does. Again, how did the shots starting to fall? I think that's really big. It does take true freshmen a long time to start really hitting shots sometimes. But he has, I mean, you're seeing the touch, you're seeing, like, he's got the range. That's what everybody always talked about. It just hadn't shown up. I mean, I think he was, what, 4 of his first 26, 27, who knows? But I don't know what he is in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever, but it's a heck of a lot better. And you're just starting to see a whole lot more confidence, and you're seeing, you know, better conditioning. He looks, again, just, I don't know, safer out there, more comfortable, and just in every way, it just seems like he belongs out there. So that's making a huge difference. And again, obviously, you know, we've talked a ton about how bad of a shooting this team is collectively, and it's really bad. But you know, it's really key to get a guy like him, who's going to be, you know, off the ball, you know, basically going to be a three or a four, who's not bringing the ball up and just moving around and having opportunities to catch and shoot. And they don't really have anybody else like that, who's reliable. I mean, Durham gets some catch and shoot opportunities, you know, Green gets some, but I mean, a lot of stuff that he's doing is it ends up being off the dribble. You know, just getting a guy that can kind of get lost in the game a little bit and get an open three when somebody leaves him to, you know, go, you know, basically go pinch down on a drive, you know, on a drive or something like that. I mean, like, that's just sort of an element that really hasn't been there, and it's starting to be there. And I think it adds a lot to them. And he's defending pretty well. It allows them to kind of go a little bit not necessarily smaller, but doing the kind of, you know, getting a very wingish. They can play with him and Justin Smith and maybe Trace Jackson Davis out there at the same time, gives them some opportunities defensively. So, you know, him being better really adds an element. I think it's something that's made them a little bit more dangerous, a little bit of a tougher matchup in recent weeks. Again, they haven't played that well collectively, but it is an element that I think is going to matter when they, you know, and I think they will pull up and pull out of it eventually. And when they do, I think Hunter is going to be a continued weapon.
All right, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, great stuff on IU and the Big Ten. And as we're talking, someone just sent me a Big Ten Network updated graphic of the tournament if the season ended today and the bracket was seeded now. And I know it's going to change, Dustin, so much between now and the tournament, but I don't know why. I just love looking at this thing. Indiana now a 7 seed as of today, or excuse me, Indiana now a 10 seed as of today. They would take on 7th seeded Wisconsin, and still 12th seeded Michigan playing on the first day, still 11th seeded Ohio State playing on the first day. That is just amazing to think about, and I'm sure that there'll be some obvious changes here, but boy, I am going to clear out my schedule if at all I possibly can. This is going to be a hell of a tournament.
Yeah, no, I mean, conference tournament week all across the board is going to be crazy. Just totally nuts. But yeah, Big Ten in particular will be just absolutely fascinating. It will be, I think, the most interesting conference tournament out of them all. And just anything could happen. I mean, like, that's not a bad Michigan team. The idea that they're a 12th seed is just insane to think about. That's just wild. That's just totally crazy.
All right, Dustin Dopierak, where are you headed? Where are you headed tonight? The Butler game, right?
Yeah. It's tough. I feel bad. I've missed a couple of Purdue games, so I feel like I owe them. Butler Villanova, I think, is too big right now. I mean, yeah. Butler is, Butler, you know, basically this is the game where you're going to find out, are they going to, you know, challenge for the Big East title or not? You know, I think if they lose this one, you know, they're out of title contention, really. They need this one to get back in it, basically, and they need Seton Hall to lose some games. But, if they're going to be in it, you know, basically to be a 1 or 2 seed in that tournament, I think they need to win this game. They need to be able to beat Villanova at home.
Absolutely. Dustin, as always, thanks for the chat. Keep up the great work. We're going to have some fun conversations, I know, moving forward the rest of this month and into March, and I look forward to it.
Absolutely. Thanks, as always.
And just to recap things here, Big Ten bracket as of today. I don't know if you like it as much as I do. It's just fun to follow. But Indiana, a 10th seed as of today. Of course, this is before tonight's Big Ten slate. Indiana, a 10th seed. They would take on Wisconsin. If the bracket was seeded today on March 12th, which is the second day and the second round of tournament play, and then they would get the winner. If Indiana could win that game, they would move on to play number 2 seeded Illinois, who is the 2 seed right now. Maryland the 1 seed, Illinois the 2, Michigan State the 3, Penn State the 4, the way the bracket is currently laid out. And, of course, it's going to change a lot, but it's fun to think about because it's going to be just a tremendous tournament this year. Maybe Indiana gets hot. I can see Indiana beating Wisconsin. I can see Indiana and Illinois. They've done it. It could be interesting. I think this year someone may win it, and multiple teams may make runs at it that aren't the higher seeds. Who knows? Going to be fun. We'll head to a break. When we come back, Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is in studio. We'll talk girls' sectionals. We'll talk more basketball, all made possible by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt, coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Craig Pearson, News and Tribune sports editor, with me in studio as always on Wednesdays. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your apparel needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. Screen printing, embroidery, or fully sublimated uniforms. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. Visit mlshirtco.com to find out more. That's mlshirtco.com. NBCSN.com. Craig, it's the postseason. We're talking about the Big Ten tournament, still a little ways away. I know we're excited about the boys basketball tournament, still a little ways away. But what's not a little ways away and is right here and has already started is the girls' sectional tournament. And across the area last night, we had some winners and some losers. And in many cases, not all, we've got the semifinal bracket set for later this week.
Absolutely, Matt. Yeah, I was over at Charlestown and their beautiful gym there watching Silver Creek get going. And it was some slow start for the Dragons there, but they did get their 20th win. And Alana Stryverson kind of carried the way for them last night with 23 points, and I think she had 10 in the second quarter alone that kind of helped the Dragons keep pace with Corydon, who was defending them well. So anyway, some other good games as well. We had some good coverage of Providence and what turned out to be the last ball game as a Pioneer for Natalie Bozing and Maggie Purica and Bridget Welch as well. So just a good solid senior group there that ran into a good Crawford County team and finish up their careers. And obviously Jeffersonville up at Jennings County getting the nice win against Floyd Central, and good to see some other people step up with Lily Hare coming up big for the Red Devils there as they continue with life post Nan Garcia and Kelsey James and figure out ways to scrap and claw and defend well and try to get some wins.
You know, New Albany now has the unfortunate opportunity to play Bedford North Lawrence in that semifinal. Of course, Bedford a huge favorite in that game. And then Jeffersonville, Jennings County could be a pretty good game of the other semifinal. Red Devils can get to the championship. Be interesting to see if they can find a way to play with, keep it close, keep it reasonable, competitive down the stretch against Bedford North Lawrence and that sectional championship team. But always fun to see our locals do well. Always interesting to see how many sectional winners from Clark and Floyd we're going to have. And can anybody put, Craig, a run together beyond the sectional? Your thoughts on if you had to pick someone that could make a nice little run in the girls' state tournament, any class, you got a couple teams for us?
Well, I would say, you know, it's the Dragons, that sectional is incredible. Obviously, we've covered that in the paper and just how many good teams there are. So, but if they can come out of there and knock off Salem, and which they certainly could, the Dragons could make a nice little run. I mean, they're a fun team to watch, and can their style of play translate in the postseason? That's maybe a little question, you know, because they're very, you know, positionless with a bunch of guards out there, basically, and, you know, which makes them a lot of fun. And I think, you know, they've got a lot of talent, though, and they're well coached. I think they could make a run.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, always is each year, who can represent our area. Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is my guest. You can read a lot of the stories. They've been active covering the girls' sectionals. They'll continue that this week. There's some boys' games Thursday night and Saturday afternoon, in many cases because of the girls' sectionals, so they kind of get the opportunity to be highlighted this week, and you can read that coverage that's there now or that will be coming later this week at newsandtribune.com/sports, or you can, of course, find the print edition of the News and Tribune as well. Our segment with Craig is brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. If you're looking to raise money for your team or event, let Major League Shirt Company's online fan stores work for you. You can outfit your fans, raise money with very little effort. Major League even does all the sorting. All you got to do is cash the check. Find out more at MLShirtCo.com. Craig, I know you had an opportunity to attend the Bloomington South Silver Creek game on Saturday night. It was such a great game, crowd-wise, talent-wise, and, of course, it came down to an awesome finish. We kind of talked about it earlier this week, but you were there front and center, and I want to give you an opportunity to comment on it. What a fun event to be part of on Saturday night here in Southern Indiana.
Yeah, there's obviously a lot of great ones around here with some of the marquee matchups, but when you get number one 4A team against the number one 3A team and two teams, you know, top five in the coaches' poll, that's a heck of a lot of fun. And Like you said, the crowd was amazing. Basically a standing room crowd. I mean, there's, you know, people just kind of standing up in the concourse without a seat watching. And yeah, just incredible game. And seeing Trey Kaufman and Anthony Leal matching up a lot of that game, that was incredible to see. And see Trey, you know, challenge himself to guard an elite perimeter player like that. I think it was fun to see how Trey could stack up there. And, you know, obviously Cooper Jacoby played well. I think just a big, big ball game. Would have liked to see the Dragons obviously come out on top. It's a very good veteran Bloomington South team. You got to remember the Dragons are still, some juniors and sophomores and that sort of thing. So they're going to continue to get better and better.
Craig, were you surprised by any of the boys' results this week? There were some upsets. There were some teams that maybe didn't perform as we think that they would. And I can think of multiple final scores and defeats that come to mind.
Yeah, it was a crazy weekend. Evansville Wrights beating Floyd Central when Landers held the 7 points. I'm still confused by that one. I wish I could have seen that ball game as well. But Jeffersonville losing to Bedford North Lawrence at home surprises me. I'm not sure what went wrong there. I guess Trey Coleman was in foul trouble, and that's a factor. New Albany's loss, to Evansville North on the last second shot. I mean, so right there's three ball games where you just kind of scratch your head. Man, those are tough ones. And, but that's basketball and that happens. You know, I think Bedford has a quality team, obviously. So you're not completely shocked that they're able to come in and get a win. They've got a veteran coach. They've got a couple great players with, Brayton Bailey. And I think they're just a dangerous team. So, yeah, absolutely. And I think Evansville North, you know, you looked at their schedule. They played a lot of good teams over there and weren't getting blown out. A little bit younger team, I think, right? Our team's got to learn from those and get back out there and bounce back. And we got some big games coming up.
Postseason will be fun. I'm excited about Seymour. I think everybody listening knows that. That's going to wrap things up for today. Craig, as always, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Always enjoy our chats. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company. That'll wrap it up. Have a great Wednesday. I'll be back with you Thursday at 11 o'clock. Got some interesting guests. Alex Bozich inside the hall. He's always with us. But we're also going to talk with the Forbes sports writer for the Boston Celtics about Romeo, the G League, all these rumors about trade deadlines, etc. So stay with us for that. I'll catch you tomorrow on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.